a small town in Iran, a child was born into a religious family. He was named Ruhullah. At that time, the world didn't know that this child was going to be a source of great change in his country and the world. His doubts were going to be talked about and debated by many leaders and world political circle, such that after his demise, his followers all over the world continued in his ways. And now.
In a public library in Europe, those visiting the publications and weeklies section would suddenly pause in surprise. In the heavy silence of the library, they could be heard whispering to one another in groups of twos or threes. This drew the attention of other visitors. Sometimes a newcomer would join the group and the others would point to something.
Between 1970 and 1979, people here in Barcelona were very interested in the Islamic Revolution. They actually recognized it to be a change from the norm. Generally, this is a great revolution after the French and the Russian revolutions, and it took place during an era of materialism, and in my view, Islam inspired it.
An edition of the weekly Time magazine dated February 12, 1979 sat on the shelf. For the first time, on the cover was a picture of somebody who wasn't famous, like the usual people who make it to the cover of this weekly. There was a picture of a new face, and under it read, Ayatollah Khomeini. Seeing this picture on the cover of the Times was the reason why so many visitors were surprised. What do you think was the most important effect Imam Khomeini had on the world?
It's obvious. Actually, it took a long time for a person like Imam Khomeini, who had spiritual, religious and political beliefs at the same time, to exist.
Comparing an absolute political leader to Ayatollah Khomeini, who was both a religious and political leader, is rather difficult. When the Islamic Revolution was taking place, it was completely obvious that religion would have a role in law and society. The comparison of two societies wherein one, the government and religion, are completely separate, and the other, they're inseparable, is very complicated.
The picture of Ayatollah Khomeini wearing the clerical outfit brought to the fore the fact that he is a religious figure with special beliefs. After living in exile for 15 years, he was returning to his country, Iran, to lead the popular revolution and establish the rule of the people.
I think Ayatollah Khomeini is probably the most important figure in the Islamic world for possibly half a millennium.
The complexity of Imam Khomeini's thoughts and ideas was never understood by the West. This is something which happens to all countries that are somewhat not Western. It is considered a very important viewpoint in political issues, especially political activities. However, it also complicates the situation by not revealing the truth of different issues, which also affects the understanding of societies.
He was a great alim. He's a learned scholar. He was a marja, which means a leader who's familiar with the scriptures of Islam. Not only was he that, he was a great sort of philosopher, a Gnostic, that's his spiritual side, And then, of course, the world knows him as the person who led the Islamic Revolution in Iran and liberated the people of Iran from years of oppression under various different tyrannical regimes.
Some of his famous sayings were, "We depend on the power of the people. The fate of any nation is in its own hands."
This country is composed of a large number of ideas, and each one has got its position.
Islam doesn't rule over the people, it serves the people.
The Islamic culture is based on the divine revelation.
We want a civilization based on honor and humanity.
In reality, this revolution is considered a true revolution. Through a series of conflicts on a large scale, it has made important and essential changes, which later occurred in other countries and led to the flourishing of Islam.
No power can withstand the power of the people. If they desire something, it will happen.
The world cannot ignore what Imam Khomeini had done and had envisaged. He didn't see religion as purely a matter for the man and God.
It is the people who choose a president with their votes, choose an Islamic Republic, choose the parliament and government. Everything is in the hands of the people.
Political legacy is his division of the running of the country between the Ayatollah Faqih, who will supervise the administration, and one who will be elected by the people.
The government and those working in it are servants of the people, not their masters. Governments should serve their nation.
What made him stand out for you?
There are many things that made him stand out. I think the things that you don't see in Western media about him, it was his love, it was his compassion, and it was his truthful and honesty, something which is completely lacking in Western politics, in Western parliaments and in Western senates. Not just Western, but Eastern for that matter as well. And I think it was the fact that he was so impassioned on a standpoint which you could double check.
This person and his thoughts were new for the media and journalists. His fresh beliefs and personality were considered a subject for them to maneuver on.
Mullah is closer to power. Garrick Utley reports.
It was in Tehran he returned, and to see all those millions of people, it was his power. It was his. There was something about him. People who I know who met him always tell me he had an aura. And it was that aura which even you could see on a two-dimensional image like a TV screen.
On February 4th, 1979, when the France Air Boeing 747 airplane took off for Iran from Neuf-le-Château, more than 150 journalists from around the world accompanied him in order to cover the latest developments of the Iranian Revolution.
First time when we met with him in France, in Neuf-le-Château, and he led the prayers, it was Maghrib prayers. It was in October or November 1978. It was very cold, and we were shivering while he was praying. And we were just hoping that he would finish soon, because we were really shivering in the cold behind underneath that tree. but he was calm. He was holding his prayers, saying it at peace. He was at peace with himself, at peace with God. And that feature, fearing God, faith in God, gave him the power not to fear anyone.
In 1979, he was chosen Man of the Year and was the focus of all media outlets because of his new ideas. Still, it wasn't clear for many politicians whether they should agree with Ayatollah Khomeini or oppose him.
You must remember that Imam Khomeini single-handedly changed the global dynamics. Before him, Islam was studied only in departments of history. After him, Islam is now studied in Department of Contemporary Studies. So he actually made Islam live.
For people of my generation, Imam Khomeini represented the hope, because for those who lived in the 60s and the 70s, they saw how the other ideologies were dominating the Muslim world. Communism, nationalism, the Ba'athists of Iraq, all these ideologies were roaming the Muslim world. And for us as Muslims, we felt very much discredited and undermined. And when Imam Khomeini came with the idea of reviving Islam, for us, he was the hope.
I live my life day to day. Him being who he was, lived it for the end. He could see things that I couldn't see.
He wanted to revive faith in God and Islam for those living under the rule of oppressive regimes for years. So, for the first time, he mentioned the idea of a religious ruling system where religion and politics go hand in hand so that the people would move towards spirituality.
He led the revolution when he was 79. At 79, people do nothing. They reach the end of their life, and you rarely find somebody of that age taking interest in politics, let alone leading a revolution.
Because of the entanglement and similarities between traditions and modernity on the one side, and because of clear reasons on the other, one can call Imam Khomeini a hero. He was a personality who had inherited the knowledge and science of 12 Imams before him, one who had a deep understanding of the culture of modern society. He knew very well how to use the media in order to spread his opinions and ideas, and he did all this for the sake of protecting the framework of Islam and Shi'ism.
He didn't care, he only cared what he thought. That's all he was. He didn't give a damn what I thought about him. That's why when he got to Behisht Zahra, he said, they say that they are the government, I slapped them on their face. Read into it, what does it mean? It doesn't mean he physically wants to slap them in the face. I mean the collective we.
An important point that is considered the most significant today and cannot be denied is the role of religion in society and politics. This can easily be seen in contemporary issues. I think to say that politics is separated from religion is in itself the beginning of a defeat. Here, in the secular West and in the whole world, everything is considered separate from religion, and world politics doesn't pay much attention to it. Nevertheless, studies and research is being taken on the subject.
A religious ruling system has to be run by a group of Muslims with strong faith that has to be chosen by the direct vote of the people. In other words, people vote for those who on the one hand believe in religion and God, and on the other hand are able to run the daily affairs of a government.
جمهوری اسلامی و این نهضتی که در ایران پیدا شده است در همون عمق طبیعی و مادیش چه دیگرگونی در همه ارزش ها ایجاد کرده است.
And he didn't say that what belongs to man, what belongs to God belongs to God, and what belongs to Caesar belongs to Caesar. No, he said that everything belongs to God, and that is why your submission, your life.
No one could imagine that the Shah could be toppled in this manner. The revolution was led by what was called the cassette revolution. The people would hear Imam's words taped in Paris and they would fight in the streets for the changes they wanted.
The people supported Ayatollah Khomeini, peace be upon him, and his revolution, and they listened to what he said. They wanted to be able to choose their destiny and the direction in which they wanted their country to move.
What the Iranian people achieved was nothing short of a miracle. A miracle that had a strong and unique leadership.
They wanted to be able to choose the parliament and their government leaders. They were determined Muslims who wanted to live according to their own values. But none of these objectives would be reached without a wise leadership that would know how to combine modern social sciences with Islamic law.
Vamos a ver, yo creo que la revolución tuvo una gran...
Generally, the revolution and Ayatollah Khomeini as its religious leader had a great impact on Iran. Ayatollah Khomeini revived the people's national pride and changed Iran to an important country in the region. A region that is considered important both geographically and politically. A region significant for its vast energy resources. I think the fact that the Iranian society defends these issues is legitimate, and in fact, it's their right to expect respect, and they have successfully conducted this matter. I believe as far as foreign policy is concerned, they're doing a good job.
In addition, a leader must be responsible and vigilant and should help the people strengthen their beliefs because he believes an Islamic system is the rule of divine law over humans, which have to be implemented by the people and their governing system.
Still, the amount of research and study and presentation of the Imam to the new generation is very limited. We only talk about him when it is his death anniversary, his demise. And like now, we are remembering him for 1 or 2 days. But that's not enough. I think there is the need to really propagate his ideas.
So I think he exposed the sort of complete capitulation of the Iranian regime at the time to the USA. And somebody was sent to him to say, look, could you not speak up against this? Don't say anything about the state. You can say what you like about the Shah. But they said, stay away from politics. He said, no, we can't stay away from this. The day I stay away from this, I will be near my death.
Once Islamic civilization can kind of regain its dignity and its equal place, as I say, in the world, I think that, yeah, the Ayatollah Khomeini will be seen as a key architect in that movement.
During years of struggle, Ayatollah Khomeini succeeded in leading Iran towards establishing an independent and free government based on democracy. He demonstrated that it is possible to defeat colonialists by having faith in God and the support of the people.
یک نفر آدم با ایمان میتونه با هزاران نفر بی ایمان مقابلت کنه.
Antes y después de presentar un Islam
There are a lot of people who became Muslim after getting to know Imam Khomeini's beliefs, Latin America, Africa, and many poor countries around the world. Today, there are a lot more because of Imam Khomeini. He introduced an Islam which is compatible with today's modern society and could move along technological advancements. And as time passes, more and more people will become interested in Islam.
He wanted to establish a religious ruling system. That was why he called for people to participate in a referendum over the establishment of an Islamic Republic.
I'm afraid what happened in Iran was a fight and a battle against westernization. Against an industrialized and materialistic society. The Imam knew perfectly well how to navigate under such circumstances, especially since the Iranian culture is full of myths and legends. He knew how to maneuver and introduce himself to the society. I think this was the key, and it was this element that led him to victory.
The referendum took place a month and a half after the victory of the revolution. After many years, Iranians were going to the polls to choose their destiny. There was excitement all over the country. Long lines were formed at polling stations. People from all walks of life, from the young to the old, they all cast their votes.
What Ayatollah Khomeini brought to the world, not only to Iran but to the world as well, was this the involvement of religion into politics, which at that time it was thought to be dead, that politics and religion cannot mix, and that religion cannot run a state. So what he showed was that this can happen, and it continues to until today.
April 1st, which coincides with the start of spring, was called Islamic Republic Day. On this day, 98% of Iranians said yes to the Islamic Republic. This was a beginning for parliamentary, city council, and presidential elections in the country. The high participation of people in all kinds of elections was in itself unique and was considered a record.
I think there is still a huge amount of support for Ayatollah Khomeini's ideas in Iran. And if it wasn't there, then I think we would have had a change in the system in Iran. But we haven't had that change as yet. At every election, so whatever people say about the kind of democracy that is in Iran, still people who are elected are the people who are for to continue the revolution of Ayatollah Khomeini and the kind of Islamic state that he created.